This week we pose the question, in my lifetime.
Brought to you by Nineworks.co.uk, the fastest growing online Porsche community, supported by the Nineworks Marketplace. Nineworks Radio is your dedicated Porsche and car podcast, hosted by Lee Sibley, Andy Brooks and Max Newman. Nineworks Radio is carefully produced with special input from experts around the industry and powered by our valued members of the Nineworks Driven Not Hidden Collective.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Nineworks Radio, the Porsche podcast full of insights and a little bit of intrigue. It's, of course, the main place where myself, Andy and Max bluff up the value of our cars, hopefully to the benefit of other owners as well. So, Andy, Max, how are you both doing?
Pretty extremely good. Well.
As you say, extremely well. Your car's done all right in the last year, mate. We'll talk about that another time. There's been a marriage in the Nineworks family. Congratulations, Max and
thank
Mandy.
You.
Thank you. Well done.
Yeah, 2 days ago, as we record, I became a married man. How about that?
Happy days, mate. Still smiling as well, listeners, just in case you're wondering. As always, you are wondering, aren't you? He's looking pretty chipper still.
Well, it's only 2 days in. Give us a chance.
it's the greatest marriage since GT Department Flat Sixes welcome back manual gearboxes, I would say. So you're repping well, mate.
I reckon it's about the same timelines, because you were meant to get married, weren't you, sort of 3 or 4 years ago. And that's how long there were the manual gearbox was missing from the lineup, wasn't it? So yes.
There we go. Yeah. When you got locked down. That's what
you got locked down.
We got locked down twice in 2020. So we put it to one side, and then for various reasons came back round. So it would have been our 10th anniversary this year of meeting. So, that seems like a nice landmark. But, sometimes you just got to get on with it, haven't you? The way things roll, it comes the time. And here we are. Brilliant.
Congratulations.
I'd see you. Podcasting never stops, though. The podcasting never stops.
Yes,
this is like a honey pod.
Are you actually doing this from your honeymoon suite?
Pretty much.
Well, you have been out and about a bit this week, haven't you?
Yeah. I have. Yeah. I did a little bit of pre-wedding work up in Norfolk. I went to visit my dad to take in a little cars and coffee. The Trofeo cars. I think they call it hangout at the hangar. They're based on an airfield up in North Norfolk. So that's all pretty cool. And my dad lives up there. So it was a great chance to see him. Tell him that I was getting married. I thought I probably ought to do that. I thought
surprise!
That was fair to him, given that the whole thing was pretty much a covert operation. So I went to that with him. That was really good fun. And then we jammed it over to Porsche Centre Norwich, which has been open for a couple of years now, maybe 3 years, I think. But it was a purpose-built new centre, and it's the first time I've been there. It's awesome, absolutely awesome. As a location and a layout and a premises, it's probably the coolest Porsche centre that I've been to.
So what makes it cool?
It's really something.
Big words.
But the way you approach it, it's on the sort of edge of a sort of industrial park, bit.
Sounding glamorous.
But, well, I know that doesn't sound that cool at all, does it? But you approach it and you sort of have to go up a little hill to get up to it. And the way that it's laid out with the little, the circle bit for the halo car, and the way to lay out all of the used cars, and then the center itself, you approach it up this little hill. So it's big and impressive in front of you, and it's all new, and it really looks fantastic. It really does. Really does.
Nice.
When you're used to going to Porsche Center Silverstone, which was previously my one that I go to the most often, or even Reading. I used to live in Reading, so I'd go to Porsche Centre Reading. This place knocks them both into a cocktail. It's really something.
Nice. I guess it's got all the new design of the side is quite swoopy and stuff.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it has.
Adds
yes,
to the drama.
So it hasn't got that destination Porsche new layout that they've put at the new High Wycombe one, and I think they've done at Reading. I haven't been there, and some other ones.
But and still, Nottingham, and I think Newport as well.
Yeah, but still, it's really, really lovely. really lovely.
I wonder, because there's a lot of Porsche dealerships find themselves in like industrial areas. When I was at Porsche Belfast a couple of weeks ago, that was very much in the industrial part of the city. Porsche Bournemouth, our local one for Andy and I, is in an industrial estate these days, which I understand why they're there, but it's quite uninspiring. I'm just wondering, like, location-wise in the UK, which is best? Can Mayfair be beaten? I quite like the idea of popping to Piccadilly to pick up a Porsche, just for alliteration there.
I did go there the other day. I went to Porsche and to Mayfair a couple of weeks ago, actually. I had a meeting down that way, and I thought, I know, I'll pop in, just a little nosy around.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably a little bit of an awkward place, because I think as you take the car out of the showroom for your delivery, you're straight onto double yellers. So I think as a collection, and then driving out through central London, I'm not sure it's probably a nicer one to pop in after you've been to Hamleys and Liberty's with your shopping bags and have a little look around, maybe, than to actually collect a car from.
Yeah, you could probably pick up a parking ticket, a congestion charge, and a ULEZ.
Probably.
Fine. Probably. Within 10 minutes of owning the car.
Quality. Probably could do. I know what you mean. I mean, and it was a lovely sunny day. That helps everything, doesn't it? But I suppose, having been to Mayfair recently and having been to High Wycombe recently, you know, more Porsche centres than I'd normally go to, I just got there and I thought, bloody hell, this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. And they had a really lovely exclusive manufacturer car. They had a 992 C4S with sort of sport classic type wheels, although thinking I can't imagine that they would have been centre locks in a C4S, but it was an agate grey and it had the heritage interior with the Cohiba leather and the Pepita inserts and all of that sort of thing. And with these retro wheels, sport design kit as well, it looked amazing in the showroom, I've got to say. I mean, it's 155 grand or something. It seems like a lot of money for a C4S, but the thing looked amazing.
That's what counts, Max. That's what counts.
Well, exactly.
Make a good wedding present, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. If you're wondering, listener, I've just seen Max's wallet run out the room. Grow some legs and it's gone.
Oh, I thought I was getting the present. I didn't know I was buying the
present. No, you're buying it for Mandy.
I was going to, but it's a 4, not a 2. Otherwise, I would have. Oh, okay. If it was a 2,
you'd been there.
Absolutely. I tell you what, they did have though, which would be a fun wedding car. They had this crazy Turbo S cab in, I'm not even sure what purple it was. I'll tell you what purple it was. A bit like, you know, that on our WhatsApp group, someone posted that purple interior.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I love it. It was 964.
Yeah, it was like a metallic paint version of that. 992 Turbo S.
Oh, that's strong.
It was really strong. Really, really strong. I mean, maybe even as a wedding car, it's too much. I don't know.
Yeah. Can you imagine it had that purple interior as well?
Oh, I can't remember what the interior was. I'm going to have a look, and I'll put it up on the Nineworks Instagram, because I did take some pictures of it so folk can have a look. But it is wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild.
And what was that, a turbo? 992 turbo?
Yeah, 992 Turbo S. Okay, so the inside's a bit more subdued. It's a heritage interior still, so it's houndtooth, but it's black. But then, on the outside, it's just this mental, metallic purple. Crazy stuff.
Craziness.
Thing that I did like, actually, although you've been in one recently and were not quite so impressed, they had a 992 cab. But it was a GTS, a two-wheel drive one, with the manual gearbox.
I bet that was cool.
Yeah.
It'd be much better than the PDK for my use and my feel. Yeah.
And I bet there won't be many of them in years to come, will there?
No, I bet not.
Two GTS cab manual two-wheel drive.
Yeah, that'd be special, wouldn't it?
Nice car.
Definitely keep its value.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Real nice.
So, listener, so this is our last episode of this series.
Yep.
Don't know about you. We feel like it's gone very quickly.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of chat this series. Like, we like to do a little bit of chat, a little bit of journalism. I think it's been a little bit more askew towards chat this series, but that's no bad thing. It's just as important, just as relevant, we hope. So after this episode, there will be a short break and then we'll be back on the airwaves. We are going to sign off with a chat, but before then, guys, I've been doing some cutting-edge journalism just to try and balance this out.
Okay.
So strap in. So Porsche or Porsche, guys? When you're Porsching, are you Porsche or Porsche? Where do you sit with this pronunciation?
Totally depends on who I'm talking to and what the conversation's about. It can change. Flips.
Absolutely,
so flips.
Yeah, exactly the same for me. When you're down the pub with your mates, it's Porsche or Polsch.
Polsch.
Yeah. Polsch. All right, geez.
Porsche.
And and then yes, when you're in the field, when you're doing the day job, for me anyway, it's Porsche. Yeah. Absolutely. But Max, I'm sure you're Porsche, are you not?
No, I've always been Porsche. I understand that I'm led to believe that Porsche is correct, but after 48 years, Porsche is a hard habit to break.
Yeah. Yeah, there is that. At least you're honest, I guess. Yeah. At least you're honest. So we've, throughout this series, we've been talking, the whole podcast, really, Taycan, Taycan, et cetera, et cetera. And somebody, I was in conversation with someone the other day, and they listened to the podcast, and they'd said McCann, and then they corrected themselves, realizing that some people say McCann. They say, well, McCann, however you say it. And I thought, we need to, right here, right now, set the record straight. So how do we pronounce the cars that half the people listening to this podcast drive? So I've dived in, boys. I've dived in and I've got the answers.
This is the Bible, is it? This is what we should be doing forevermore.
This is the gospel.
Okay.
And unless you don't care, and you know, like you can adopt the Max approach where you can just keep doing your own thing, keep trucking, right? So Taycan, Taycan, because sources are important in journalism. So this is from the world premiere of an even more dynamic Taycan. This was at Laguna Seca a couple of weeks back. And you're about to hear from Kevin Geek, who's the vice president of the product line of the Taycan. Okay, so here we go.
Okay.
Yes, we're really excited. Today we have our newest baby, the most performance, the most dynamic Taycan. We already have
Did we hear that?
Yeah, Taycan.
Taycan.
Okay.
Taycan. It's not Taycan. It's not anything else. It's Taycan, because that's what the bloke that is head of the production line that makes these cars.
What's he know?
What is it? Yeah, exactly. Well, surely been involved with coming up with the name, or at least choosing the third-party marketing company.
And also, he was speaking in his second language there. So again, yeah, I mean, what did he get in GCSE English, eh? he didn't even take it, as far as I know. No credibility.
Okay, well, so yeah, there's a foot fault there, Max is saying then, basically, on that one. So that's Taycan McCann now. So we've jumped to the world premiere live stream of the all-new electric Porsche Macan. I think, wasn't this in Singapore at the start of the year, back in January. So you're about
spectacle that was.
Yeah. I remember you saying there was a lot of art, and actually scrubbing through the live stream, there is a lot of art, and I'm not sure how much of it is relevant to a people carrier. But so you're about to hear from Michael Maurer, who you may know is the vice president of Style Porsche. So he oversees the styling of all Porsche cars and sports cars. Okay.
Main purpose was just, again, with the successor of the very successful Macan, to build.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know, because Max will be like, I'm not having that. And he'll probably chuck into the mix what he's already said of that's anglicized. So I'm just going to skip to later on in that. So you're going to hear from Dr. Oliver Bloom. And again, guys, this is cutting edge journalism.
This is like an episode of a Lower Low, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Oliver Bloom, chairman of the executive board of Porsche. Okay.
An innovation hub. It's a green megacity, and it's opening the door to the future. A future with a new star, the new all-electric Macan.
Boom. All right, guys. So can we put it to bed? It's Taycan and it's Macan. And if you say anything else, you're wrong, or you just don't care. And that's fine.
So with KN, is it KN or Cayenne?
Oh, okay. That's the next one. I tell you what, that if that doesn't bring the audience back next series, Max, I don't know what will.
Okay.
we'll have answers. Boom. We'll have answers. Yeah, we are at the forefront of cutting edge consumer journalism. So I'll try and find out.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome or awful, you decide. Right, let's move on.
That was worth coming back a honeymoon for. That was.
Well, look, Max, now you're married, you've got to get used to being told you're wrong anyway. So you've just got this
nicely
is practice.
Tied in.
This is practice, pal.
Very get well tied in.
Right. So shall we move on, gents, to something, say, more aspirational, very aspirational. So we had an idea, didn't we, of in our lifetime. It's aspirational, but it's things that we genuinely hope to fulfill in our lives. Shall we cross over to the conversation that is pre-recorded, but one which we hope everybody will enjoy?
Yeah, let's do it.
Right, gents, so in our lifetime, a few things to discuss here. So look, how did the concept come up? I basically thought, Maxwell, actually, you and I have spoken about this a couple of weeks ago. I've had this burning desire to just ship Little Irish out to the States. And I think the older I'm getting, with like a vague realization that it turns out we're not all here forever after all, you know, the day
you think that in your teens and your 20s,
100%,
don't you?
Yeah, but you know, the day is on the horizon at some stage or another. And I think, yeah, the older I get, having just celebrated a birthday, more of a realization there is of that. And it's thinking, Christ, you know, I need to just stop talking about it and do it. I really, really, really want to just ship my car to the States, drive across the States, and then bring it home again. And then genuinely, you know, I think the thing I said to you, Max, was if I'm lucky enough to become old bones, I'll be sitting in the corner of a retirement home
telling your stories,
lost all my marbles, yeah. But I, you know, my last breath would be I drove across the States in my little car, you know. Hopefully with my wife, right, you know. And so I thought, well, look, why don't we open that up and that concept? There's a couple of things, you know, so in our lifetime, you know, before we, you know, take that long walk over the Rainbow Bridge, how or what can we do fusing our passion to just achieve some of those bucket list things, really? Just want to throw it out there to you guys. Yeah. You know, is there any, you know, well, maybe we save the big ticket thing to last, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, what do you want to do and see? Do you feel fulfilled or do you feel like you've got a lot of mileage?
Oh, I've got plenty of things that I want to do.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I totally get you. We've been taught ever since we came back, whilst we were still in the States all together last year, we were talking about, you know, how much we enjoyed being there and all the untold possibilities that America offers. You know, that's the American dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a cliche, but, you know, when you're out there, you feel it, especially in California.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm almost as excited as you are about the possibility of you taking your car over there and spending however long it takes you to do it, you know, creating content and doing Porsche and people stuff. I think it sounds brilliant. You know, I feel quite inspired by it, and I'm not even the one talking about doing it. You know, so I'm totally on board with this idea of in my lifetime. And, you know, when we were chatting on the WhatsApp the other day, you sort of chunked it down to a few ideas that we could use to, you know, facilitate a conversation on here that might spark a bit of chat on our WhatsApp group and other groups and other, you know, bands of car mates.
Yeah. 100%. You know, done some research into it. It is difficult. People have done it before, obviously. I think Sam's seen through glass with his Travel the World. Yeah. I mean, that's just, that's, you know, that's exactly the word. That is epic, you know. Every time I go on Instagram, you know, I'm living vicariously through Alex Penfold's Instagram account at the moment. You know, he's in Japan at the moment with that GT4. He's done the States thing. And I just love
it,
you know.
He shipped his car out to Japan,
Yeah. Oh, after doing the States and, you know. Fantastic, so it is possible. Much debate is open as to whether it's more difficult or easier with a classic car to do it, you know, but you have to see. I've had plenty of people tell me it's not possible. I don't want to hear that. So don't message me saying, I don't want to burst your bubble, but I don't want to hear it. What, you know, tell me how it is possible, you know, because honestly, like I want to do it, you know, and
positive vibes only. We only want to hear from facilitators, not naysayers.
Yeah.
Message that to someone else.
There's enough of them out there, isn't there? Yeah. So, you know, with that theme in mind, and there's lots to discuss around that. So in our lifetime, you know, that's kind of what we're looking at. So we picked out some kind of categories to split our aspirations down into, and maybe we'll run through those today. So we've got a car to drive, a car to own. Obviously there is a difference between those two.
Yeah.
A road trip to do, a circuit to see or drive, a big ticket bucket list, and a person to meet.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll dive into that. So yeah, maybe start with car to drive, gents.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? You know, before you shuffle off, what would you absolutely love to drive?
I've got a real curiosity. You know, the obvious thing that people might expect me to say, Max is definitely going to want to drive a Group C car. But, you know, I've got a friend who's got a Group C car, 956, and I look at that and I find it very intimidating. So I don't actually particularly, not every day, aspire to drive that. But something that I'm really curious about, because I think I'd really like it, is a 918 Spider.
Okay.
You know, I think that's such an interesting car. I wrote about it ages ago on Nineworks, and it's still a car that seems a little bit outlandish to me. You know, you don't see 918 Spiders very often. When you look at them on YouTube, they seem incredible. I quite like the whole moving off an electric and then this V8 comes into life. Apparently, they're amazing.
Mm.
And I would really like to find out for myself. I'd love to drive a 918 Spider. Paging DK Engineering and or anyone else who may
have anyone that will listen,
yeah,
really.
Anyone
yeah.
That'll listen. Yeah. But yeah, I'd love to. I just want to find out for myself.
Isn't
yeah.
it crazy that that car is 10 years old?
Yeah.
Does that mean technically that now becomes a classic under the Porsche Classic scheme? 10% off parts of labour, isn't it, for them?
Maybe. Maybe, I don't know.
100%, yeah.
Well, I know it's not a 911, obviously, but have you been anywhere near one?
Have
you
ever... I have driven one.
Have
yeah,
driven
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah, I have. Oh. And
what was the experience like then?
Amazing. I've got a funny story about it, and I can't say it on here. And to be honest, I wouldn't even put it on the DNHC WhatsApp. If you see us at Cars and Coffee, ask me about it, and I'll tell you. But there's a guy. Unfortunately, I can't remember his name. But at the time when the 918 came out, his job at Porsche was to fly around the world and introduce the car to the owner. So this is the tech, this is how you best utilize it and use it, because yeah. that and again, you know, with that whole hybrid technology, that car is very, very, very clever. The hybrid doesn't hinder the character of that car, it helps it. Very versatile. And so that was his job, to teach people how to drive it. And we had this press launch drive it. Actually, it was the 911R press launch up in Scotland.
Yeah.
And then there's this, you know, very cool bolt on. It's really annoying. I apologise. I can't remember your name, but he, you know, you'd drive it, and he would be next to you, tell him what to do. And so I was on the on the Isle of Skye in this 918, and I won't tell you what happened on the airways, but what a car! And you know, and you look at that now. You know, it's 10 years old. Technology moves fast. I almost feel like the 918 is ahead of its time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that would still feel relevant today.
Yeah.
You know, despite the fact it's 10-year-old technology,
yeah,
I guess.
It still looks bang up today.
Oh, it looks, well, it does, I think yeah. it looks yeah. better now than it did yeah. then, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Matured well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, those are kind of quirky design things, like with the exhausts and like that positioning and that. I think that's such a like iconic design now, actually, which at the time we were like, oh, it's a bit weird.
Yeah. It's interesting you say the 918, because I'm obviously a bit more old school than you. So the thing that I had in mind was the Carrera GT.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be my one to drive.
Really? That
needs
yeah.
to be knocked off a list. And I've said that before, haven't I?
Yeah.
But you know, what's that? Is that 20? That's 20 years old.
20. Now, yeah. Yeah. 2003, yeah. wasn't it? 2003 into 2004.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
I feel like, and I say, I feel like I understand, I'm led to believe that modern tire technology has sort of released the potential of that. Of that car, and people are now respecting it, and you know, it gets lauded as, you know, one of the ultimate analog car experiences.
Well, surely,
you know, full stop.
That is surely, full stop. Yeah, that is surely the zenith, you know, a nice vehicle. You know, if aliens landed in 50 years' time when we're all just driving devices rather than cars, and you had to say, look, we used to have these things that like made grown adults cry, you know, and what was it? You know, you got to pick one car through history. You'd pick a Carrera GT, I think, you know, or an F40.
I remember the first time I saw one was in Southampton. I was going around the sort of, you know, where the BBC studios are in Southampton. There's a bit that sort of loops around. It's not dual carriageway, but it's it was all sort of stuffed up with traffic, and I heard this noise. It's wow. What is that?
Yeah.
And then sort of peered around the car in front of me, and there was the Carrera GT. And it's obviously the guy had only just got it, because I think he's probably stalled it. If my memory serves me right, because they were very easy to do that. But my God, the noise that made, and the spectacle practical on the road. And that must have been about 2003, 2004. You know, it was in the early 2000s.
Mega. So, yeah.
I would love to see, I want your dreams and everybody's dreams to come true, right? I'm an idealist. But if that ever happens, Andy, I just ask that for the sake of maybe even the internet that you film it, because one of my favourite videos ever is you had like an onboard camera when you drove that roof.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3, foot down, the noise, and your reaction to it. I love it, mate. And I just think that times 10 in a Carrera GT, yeah. I just, you know, I want to, it's an Andy reaction cam. I think the internet needs it, you know. That'd be great.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, cracking. I think I've said it before, I would go F40 actually. What a car. And you know, again, repeating,
I think we need to go back to this idea of our group house that we've got with the garages underneath, and I think we could all drive each of those and enjoy them much.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I love the F40.
Oh, yeah, I do.
What an incredible car.
What was that
who doesn't,
what was that piss up we had last
London
year
Concourse.
London Concourse, yeah. So you know, I didn't look at a car all day. I had a cursory look at the end for the gram, but then as we were leaving, there was that F40 in the middle of the lawn, and it stopped me in my tracks. Yeah. And I just, you know, oh, I don't know, I feel like I could get emotional just looking at that thing. Yeah. I just think that is the most beautiful thing ever invented. You know, yeah.
Yeah,
unbelievable yeah. thing. I'd love to experience it. I've been a passenger in one.
Have you?
Yeah. So, when I was an editor at Total 911, Damien, who runs the Car Guys, took me out. So, I basically ended up in hospital, and I think he felt sorry for me and said, "If you come back to work, I'll take you out on my F40." So, 9 o'clock next day, I was at my desk. Dosed up to the eyeballs, and that weekend he kind of stuck to his word and took me out in his F40, which he sold since, I believe. And again, I just remember, you know, pulling out onto the A31, come on the slip road and just edged out, and he said these mirrors are superfluous, so I'm just gonna jump out into the road and hope someone sees a bright red F40. You know, and the amount of people that just pulled up next and was like egging, you know, you'd want to do it on a Sunday morning and no one's around, so the drive is for you rather than someone else, I guess. But like, it's just like automotive pornography, I think, in motion. Simple as that, you know.
Is there one person, you know, in the car world that doesn't like the F40?
Yes.
It doesn't matter. I think if you don't like Ferrari, you know, it's not your thing.
Yeah,
you'll still
yeah.
love an F40. It's just so much theatre.
I think so.
You know, and again, like I remember famous feature in Evo magazine, Henry Catchpole driving the F40 in the Swiss Alps. And there was a wonderful, I think it was Dean Smith got the shot, back end out, you know, and it has a V8 turbo, isn't it? You know, and back end out on this F40, and I just remember seeing that picture and just thought, oh my god, that's you'll never beat that moment, I'm sure. I don't know, that's just how I would feel looking at it, you know.
Amazing.
Not to mention the fact you got balls the size of planets, you know? Very cool.
Brilliant. Great choices.
Let's hope it garage. Happens, boyos. Do you know what I mean?
That's what we're going to drive, isn't it?
Yes. What about to own?
Actually to own.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I
feel like that's I don't know. Is there slightly more of a realistic element to that, really? Because, you know,
what you could achieve.
Yeah. It's certainly not going to be a Carrera GT 918 and F40 for this one, is it? You know. I'll go in if you don't mind. I think as much as I, you know, love Porsches, when I grew up on my bedroom wall, I was just mad about Ferraris. It was the you know, the red and everything else. And I had little toy cars of Ferraris. And I don't know, something for me about a Ferrari 360. And I know I won't like it. I know it'll be terrible. And I know I'll come back to Porsche thereafter. But again, I just feel like I have to scratch that itch at one point. And funnily enough, I've driven a Ferrari 360 drop top. And I didn't like it at all. I thought compared to, like, you know, even if that was the era when the 996 was around, you know, Gen 2 by that point. And you know, obviously that's chastised for build quality and everything else. But I just thought that if a 996 knocks the socks off of this, that's the reality. But that was like a light metallic blue. And I don't know, there's an irrational part of my brain that goes, but a red one would be so much better to drive. Yeah, yes, that's completely irrational. So, yeah, I know it won't make sense. I know I'll jump back to a 911 thereafter and it will be a heinous financial mistake. But I don't know.
It sounds like it's got to be done.
Life is about embracing the nuances, accepting failure.
I'm seeing a new Lee Sibley here and a new YouTube channel that's that Ferrari guy.
I don't think I'd be very welcome. You know, an old Essex chavvy coming into one of those meetings in a little Ferrari.
Right in.
Imagine you in the gear.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. The jacket. Little slightly shiny jacket.
Yeah.
Zipper.
Yeah, right.
There you go. Yeah.
Do you reckon?
What
about you boys?
Well, I think I'm going to stick with a Porsche. I'm not defecting to some Italian brand. That's just wrong, isn't it? I think I would it's something that's really sort of bubbling in me is a turbo.
Ooh.
Yeah, 930 turbo.
That is
definitely bubbling inside me of something that I'd like to own, to experience that punch.
Yeah.
That extra punch. Just the shape of it is so iconic, isn't it? Yeah. So
You love that impact bumper look, don't you? So it's taking that. Yeah, like you said, with the added whack, that's like the dream gig. Yeah. I guess, you know.
Yeah. Would I go early? Might have to go early.
Yeah. Pre intercooler.
Yeah. Pre intercooler.
3 liter.
For that, like
75-76 cars.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, it's Nigel's.
Yeah. That's a 3 liter. That's the silver 3 liter one. Yeah. Yeah.
With the lobster.
Interior.
I know he was talking about selling that a little while ago.
There you go, mates. Rates.
Yeah. I can't afford it, Nigel. Maybe I can borrow it for a little while.
What about the green one that James at Sports Purpose has taken back into stock?
That's got the Thurman seats. I'm not really.
Are you not feeling?
Not really feeling the Thurman seats. I'm sure they're very comfortable. Well, I've sat in one. Yeah, but.
What about? I'm thinking about James and Sports Purpose again. They had, just thinking of it as a nice contrast to Thermador, he had that bright orange.
Oh, I loved that orange one.
930, which was a late car. I think it was a 75, maybe a late 75, early 76 car. But like as the sort of opposite way around of Thermador, orange on the outside and dark on the inside.
Yeah. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, that sealed it for me, Max. Yeah, I'll have an orange.
I can see you in a 930. And I think most pleasing is I can see you driving it, like, you know. And I kind of always said again, you know, Sunday morning driving one of those. It's very different to, you know, your naturally aspirated car, but like, the fun you'd have, you know.
I'll aspire to own one sometime. I think that's achievable. I think just maybe.
100%, mate. 100%. Thing is, like, you know, rebuild costs on those and everything else are like massive. But like, again, you're a tinkerer. So I think there's, you know, I definitely think that's possible.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Would you leave it stock?
No, that would be silly. No, I can't leave anything.
Maybe a bit
stock.
Of stance.
Yeah, maybe a bit of stance.
I tell you what I'm thinking here, Lee. I'm thinking the Macalose Classics 76 turbo that you drove, in terms of Andy's vibe. Bit of stance, tweak to the turbo.
It was just enough, wasn't it?
It was a real
cue car, that. You know, you look at it and go, right, that looks...
There's something different. It's got to be, if you know, you know.
Modified.
It's not a case of modifying it to be outrageous.
No, that sort of vibe.
It's just refining it and making it sit right and feel the arches.
Gustavo stripes or no stripes?
No stripes. No.
What about those, the sort of almost ghosted turbo thing down the side, you know, where it says turbo?
Yeah,
on
they're good.
On the rear,
yeah, I like those.
I like that.
You see that here. It's quite, you know, almost ubiquitous in the States on a 930, but here you don't really see it.
Yeah, they're cool stripes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Buzzing.
Okay. Yeah, right. The picture is building.
Yeah.
Right, Max, what would you...
Mine's an interesting one, actually, because it's come out of a conversation that Mandy and I had recently.
It's not a McCann.
No. You know, we were talking about the future and all of that sort of thing, as you do. And as I've said before, Mandy's not, she's not a car enthusiast, definitely not. She's not really into cars at all, doesn't like to go to car meets. She does like to drive a nice car, you know.
Yeah.
Why not? But occasionally when she does pass comment about things, she says about, you know, that pretty Porsche or that one of those pretty ones and that sort of thing. And what she's actually talking about there when she says it is typically actually 993s. Invariably, it's air-cooled stuff, you know, 3.2s, 9.64s, 993s, but particularly 993s, actually. And it did make me imagine a scenario that might not be impossible, you know, it might be able to happen in my lifetime, that we could own, you know, because as I've said before recently, I love the Boxster. I'm really enjoying it. I love the Macan. Love having a Macan. And I wondered, I could sort of imagine a scenario where there was an air-cooled car in there, but one that Mandy would actually want to drive and would drive. Mm. So maybe that would be a 993, you know, given that mm-hmm. that's the last air-cooled car and the most refined and perhaps therefore the most usable. And then maybe, you know, it figures the most accessible from Mandy's point of view. And then I thought, oh, you know, Boxster, maybe that would turn into a Spider, Macan, maybe that turns into a new Macan. Maybe there's a 993 that I would love and enjoy and Mandy would actually get in and drive.
Coupe cab Targa?
Yeah. Coupe.
Okay.
Coupe.
Okay.
Manual, obviously.
Narrow body, wide body?
Narrow.
Narrow, yeah.
Narrow.
I think you'd need a good colour to appeal.
Yeah, yes.
To make it pretty for Mandy.
Yeah.
Turquoise blue.
Yeah, maybe. Oh. Maybe. You know, and I think, you know, as a trio of cars, as a driveway,
yeah,
I'd be cock-a-hoop with that. And if it was something that Mandy would enjoy and she would use, imagine, you know, seeing Mandy. Mandy's a very pretty lady. Imagine seeing her driving a 993. That'd just be cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. So, yeah.
You'd be finished, mate, I tell you.
What, you mean I'll be on the scrappy?
Yeah, like 100%, yeah. This is where the lad pad starts. Quality.
So there we go.
Love it, mate. Love it.
Nice.
I hope it happens, boys. Hope it happens,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So
I think they're all achievable.
Yeah, yeah. So we got any new Patreons this week then, Andy? We've done that joke before.
Yeah.
Quality. All right then. So we've picked a car, a fantasy car, I guess, a car to own, road trip. Yeah. Where are you going in either a car you have now or in the car that you just specified? You know, where do you want to go? What do you want to see through the windscreen?
There's definitely a small road trip that I'll talk about first, and that's got to hit that road, the Col de Torino again, which is where I did that ambulance chase and where that amazing Henry Catchpole film is
with a
911 SCRS with, I can never remember his name, who drove it.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah,
the 70-odd-year-old guy. And I want to go back there. I've got to do that. I've got to do it. But I think there's something, yeah, that's just a small thing. What's bigger.
Let's make that happen, man.
Yeah,
100%.
Let's
make
one.
That happen.
Yeah, because it's a cracking road and
yeah,
it's got so much meaning for me.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'd love to do that. Like, I'd love for you to do that and I'd love to see that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe off season, like in between the snow that hits that area. Obviously, the Monte Carlo rally is around January time, so stay away from then anyway.
Yeah.
But like before
hit it in the
summer
the spring,
season when the cyclists kind of come along and whatnot.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. What have you got, Max? Any little ones or big ones?
Mine that I would like in the luxury part of this trip is time, really, because I'd be delighted to do it in any of the cars maybe not the Audi, but the Boxster, the Macan. I really like Italy, you know.
Mm.
Visited Italy frequently. I've driven over there a few times in my 997. I've flown and done hire cars, but I've never been yet to a part of Italy that I didn't like. And I would like to spend the time, a bit like Andy Bowers actually is doing. You know, Andy Bowers said to us back in January that he's got a month sabbatical,
mm-hmm.
and him and his wife are taking his 992 touring around Italy.
Brilliant.
And that is something I'd like to do, just, you know, be in a country for a while, be in Italy, in my own car, driving around up and down, making stops on the way, just you know, being in the culture and enjoying my car.
Mm.
I'd love to do that.
Italy, a big destination. Yeah, I agree with that. It's good.
Love it.
That's a cracking idea. Did just when you said, Andy, that was your like little one, is there something else maybe?
I think I've got a similar one to you, is to like ship out to the US and go and just go and see the US and try and do as much as you can, because it's 52 different countries in effect, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is so much different stuff out there. We, you know, as tourists to the US, you kind of, you gravitate towards the places that, you know, everybody else gravitates, you know, the coasts, and not really seen the interior. I've seen Colorado, which is epic. So, yeah, I'd love to drive through Colorado, but I'm sure there's many other states that would just be awesome to be in your own car and go and see. Yeah, and do as much as you could. Yeah, so yeah, that US trip really appeals to me.
It's already becoming more of a reality then, you know, like there's a 2-for-1 in there or something in there, or, you know, get a big container, two of the cars in, keep each other company. This is happening, man.
Yeah.
Quality, absolute quality. Yes, I mentioned that US road trip. I think something that equally will happen, because we're thinking positive vibes only, but I would... And for a long time, I've wanted to, again, in Little Irish, go over to Sicily. Yep. As an extension of the Italian thing, and retrace the Targa Florio route. Yes. I'm fascinated, guys, about the Targa Florio. Me too. You know, the history of it, and, you know, think from a Porsche perspective as well. Porsche, the eternal winners, as winners of the last race in 73 with Gijs van Lennep. And, you know, as Brian Redman pointed out, the legendary Brian Redman in our 100th episode, it wasn't possible to drive the full course, you know, the old course. Yeah. In the modern day, it was kind of closed off, but they've repaired some of that route now. So it is now possible to retrace the original lap. And again, similar vibe, I just think, go over there and to roll around that iconic route in your own car.
I'd like to put that into my, you know, my Italy...
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Across from the bottom,
You're inhaling history. I want to be able to drive that and picture, you know, 10,000 people on a hilltop next to these cars. I mean, some of the pictures on the Porsche archive are fantastic. You know, the RSR with a Mary Stuart collar whipping past, you know, and there's just like a bloke having a fag leaning over and he misses it by like a gnat's cock or something, you know, and it's just...
I think my favourite pictures of any in the world on Instagram or even before that existed is to look at pictures of the Targa Florio.
Yeah.
And those, exactly that juxtaposition of a 911 or a Cobra or a Ferrari 312 or an Alfa T33, whatever. That, you know, going through the town, people, exactly, you know, the guy sitting there in his chair with his little sunshade, having a cigarette and a coffee, people hanging out of an upstairs window as the cars come past. Yeah. It's just, I think, one of the most amazing pictures. There is a book, actually, which I can't afford, but there's like an ultimate Targa Florio book. Which Neil Clifford has, actually, and he said he'd lend it to me so I can have a look at it, because I have looked at buying it, and it's more money than I can afford to spend on a book, but it's like the ultimate pictorial archive of the Targa Florio, so I can't wait to actually get a look at that.
But
yeah, I'm totally with you on that. All over it.
If and I'd like to point out, because it's not all pie in the sky, you know, we've had caffeine this morning, but, you know, not booze, so we're not thinking, Christ, these guys are drunk here, but, like, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, look, because that is, it's a reasonable thing, so I would say, you know, if you're listening, DNHC members, you know, if you're interested and you want to join this Sicily thing, I think that's got 2025 Nineworks road trip written all over it. You know, we're looking ahead, we're kind of tying up the rest of 2024 road trips as we speak, but it'd be nice to get some plans in place for 2025. So if you're interested in that, let's make that happen from a collective point of view. So just, you know, drop us a DM and we'll make that happen as a group, I think.
Great idea.
Start thinking about it. Start planning.
In my lifetime, next year.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. 100%. 100%.
Wicked.
Yeah, so we'll move on. So circuit to see
or dovetails neatly, doesn't
or
it?
Or drive, I guess. Yeah. If not the Targa Florio, you know, I don't know. Do you care about circuits, boys? You know, where are you at?
I tell you something, I mean, quite pertinent to in my lifetime, because this is something that my dad has always wanted to do, always talked about. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, whether we get around to it. You should say, Lee, quite rightly, that I should get on with it and make sure it does. He's always wanted to go to the Bonneville Salt Flats Speed Week.
Yeah.
You know, and I imagine that's something that, I mean, I know it's in the States and they're pretty up for stuff, but you can imagine a time when they won't be allowed to do that anymore, or the salt just won't be in the condition you can run a car on it anymore. But again, in terms of iconic imagery and a, you know, an incredible event, I know it's not a circuit per se, but I think it fits the category. And you know, that's something that would be really cool, I think.
Wicked, man. Yeah.
Hell of a trip, hell of a mission.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad hadn't been outside Norfolk for the last few years to the States, so I don't know whether I'll get over there or not, but yeah. That'd be cool.
That is wicked. Yeah, yeah. And you're right as well. You know, as under the March timeout, how long will something like that be viable for, I guess? Yeah. You know, maybe. But again, talking about inhaling history, you know, automotive history has been formed on those flats.
Yeah.
Wicked. Yeah, love it.
It's an interesting one, circuits, isn't it? Because I guess probably only up until a couple of years ago, I'd been to sort of Silverstone, Thruxton, you know, all the UK circuits, and they're a bit down and dirty and not that, I don't know, inviting a little bit. Yeah, probably. Well, I've been to Cadwell, that was great. It's a smaller circuit. Yeah. But our trip to Le Mans was intoxicating, that was. You know, I can still smell the smells and hear the whistles and the shouts as down in the hot pits. Absolutely epic. And I don't know if we could actually beat that ever again for a circuit experience. It was just enthralling and so many just senses were bombarded.
Sensory,
by it.
Yeah, overload in some ways. Yeah.
So I'm not sure it could actually beat that for a circuit experience. Yeah. I haven't
quite
been to
nice
Spa,
to
though.
Think, actually, that in this conversation about it in my lifetime, that might be one that you've actually done.
Done, yeah.
That's
yeah.
nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a nice
yeah.
memory.
Yeah. That definitely is, because Le Mans has always been on my birthday, and I've always wished to go, you know, right from being a teenager, but it's never worked out. So that actually doing that a couple of years ago was a big tick off the bucket list, actually.
It wasn't your birthday that weekend, was it?
It wasn't, but it's my birth, because it was the classic. We went to the classic.
Yeah.
I'm still not fussed. I always wanted to go to the Le Mans, but I'm not, you know, I'm over drinking hot tinnies in a field. So the normal Le Mans doesn't appeal anymore, but I always used to want to do that. And that's always on my birthday sort of time.
Yeah.
That sort of mid-June time.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit later. So, yeah, you didn't miss my birthday. No worries.
Right. I was going to say, because you didn't mention it the whole weekend. Can you imagine that? Yeah, Christ.
I guess that was a big tick off my list for circuits. I haven't been to Spa, that really intrigues me.
Yeah, I'd like to go to Spa as well.
Yeah. And another one that I really, if we go back many podcasts now. Do you remember we talked to somebody that had been to Pike's Peak? I can't remember the guy's name. But that really enthralled me.
It was Betim at BBI.
It was
running a car up there.
Yeah. And we spoke to, it was one of our patrons at the time. He got inspired to go the next year, didn't he?
Yeah. That's it.
From that talk to Betim and
David Donahue.
That was it. He went, and that really is still logged in my brain
as
something to go and see.
It's a great one.
Even though it's, you know, it's not the half tarmac, half dirt anymore.
It's all pavement though, isn't it?
It's all pavement, yes, we call it, yeah. But I think that would be an amazing thing to go and watch.
Agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
It's so sort of, that's quite, grassroots almost, isn't it? You've got a real spread of, I've been to Formula One and, and I switched off. I actually fell asleep when I went to Silverstone and watched Formula One. I actually fell asleep in the stands.
That's incredible.
Not my bad.
Yeah. I think Pike's Peak is a great one.
That's a great idea. I've always
I've thrown quite a few in the mix.
No, it's
there.
Great. 100%. It's all, you know, all stuff to do. Doesn't have to be one, I guess. And I've had fun enough. I remember when I was at what do you call it? Imagine Publishing back in the day, and I said to the MD at the time, I've got this kind of desire to drive my own car on all these different circuits that's possible to drive your own car. So like, I'd love to, an easy one for us Brits is to drive down the Mulsanne. Mm-hmm. One of the most famous straights in automotive culture is just a normal road for 364 days or 51 weekends a year, I guess. And I thought, well, that, you know, drive around Monte Carlo, done that a couple of times. And then as an extension of that, you know, Pike's Peak, you can do that. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
So that, I agree completely. I think it's a great idea. Similar as well, Andy, to Spa as a track day, phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal.
It is.
I'd love to do that again. You know, one of them really kind of should just get round to doing it.
I'd like to go to the classic at Spa. I think that would be a similar experience to the Le Mans.
I would hope. Yeah, it probably would be.
Yeah.
I struggle. I, you know, like Le Mans Classic, loved it. Absolutely loved it. But like for me with a track experience, I'd want to drive it. You know, I enjoy watching race cars on a track, you know, but it's like one tenth of the pleasure of driving your own. You know, one thing I've never understood it is parade laps.
Mm.
I just think, to me anyway, it does nothing for me. It's a waste of time. If I'm out there, I want to be, you know, this corner has been made to attack at full tilt and whatever. And I don't want to watch other cars, and I don't want to walk around it. I want to drive it as intended. Like, so, you know, I'd like to just, even at just a track day at Spa, I need to just get around to organising, you know.
Yeah.
But, watching what Spa Classic would be great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I've got a little Mulsanne tick as well coming up. My summer holiday this year, going to Ile de Ré, which is just off La Rochelle, so southwest France kind of direction.
Nice.
So we're driving in the Macan, and so on the way back, we're just jamming it back, just do the whole thing. It's pretty easy. On the way out, it's nice to have a little stop.
Yeah.
And it actually works quite well to stop in a Le Mans kind of neck of the woods. So we've got one night in the famous Hotel de France.
Lovely.
Just outside of Le Mans, but, you know, a very historic place for car people. And then I'm not sure if the Mulsanne route is on route or not, you know, for the onward journey, but we're definitely going to go down there.
Yeah. The Mad, is it?
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to get to the museum. I think that's probably be a step too far, but on that trip with Mandy, but we're definitely going to get down the Mulsanne Straight.
Yeah.
Even if it's a detour, you just got to, haven't you?
Yeah. Mate, a detour is being on tour.
Exactly. 100%. Exactly. And I think just being staying in the Hotel de France with the pictures on the wall and everything, that's just going to be cool. It's going to be cool.
And that's this year. Mm-hmm. Oh, mate. Living the dream. Yeah. Quality. All right, well, that's circuits then to see, drive, experience. Should we do the big ticket bucket list? So anything burning away that perhaps doesn't fall into those categories that was said?
I tell you what, this is a bit fantastic. There'd have to be a massive change in circumstance for this to happen in my lifetime, but I do think about it often as a sort of ultimate. In fact, going back to Le Mans, I kind of think the ultimate thing, the ultimate car, is something that has some kind of Le Mans provenance. You know, that adds so much value to even a special car's value, doesn't it? As if it's got that provenance. And over the last few years, I can't stop thinking about it. I love the idea of either the 93 or 94 GT class winner. So they're both Labra 964 RSRs.
Mm-hmm.
So in 93, that was the one where David Coulthard won in a Jag that then got excluded for not having catalytic converters or something. So the Labra car, that was the car that Pat used for Lufkult.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But then in 94, Labra actually won again in a different 964 RSR. And I love the idea that, I know they're not road legal, but you can make them road legal. And I just think I'd love to have one of those cars. Make it road legal, you know, put a handbrake in, put some little number plates on it, and it's not something you'd want to drive very far, but as a Sunday car, you know, to come to Caffeine and Machine or something, imagine turning up in a car which is a Le Mans class winner. And a Porsche.
How
cool is that? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? That's fantastical, I know, but... You know,
it's a big ticket.
In my lifetime, if I could do that, I absolutely would.
Yeah, right.
And actually, certainly the 94 winner has been sold in the last few years. So had I been in a position, in the right, you know, contacts, that could have happened.
So I would like to know, when was the seed for this planted? You know, how long have you been thinking about this?
I'm not sure. I've always had the Group C thing and Le Mans, that's always been an interest of mine, but I do think more and more that I'm more of a roadie than a track day person. So I don't necessarily, although I love Group C, I don't think all the time about owning, I mean, I do think about owning Group C cars, but, you know, I often think about, I like things that one could drive on the road, even if it's not very far, you know. So you could say, if the 50s is your thing, like a D-type Jag, you know, you could drive a D-type Jag that won Le Mans in 1955 on the road. Maybe that might be C-type, actually, before anyone balls me out forgetting my time wrong. D-type might be 1957, but you get the point. So as a Porsche guy, to be able to drive a Le Mans, albeit class, not overall winner, on the road to an event, I think it might have been when I became friendly with my friend Reiner, when I went in his 550
that
day, and he's got a 74 RSR, and it has some very small, like, and it's got a livery on it, so you almost don't notice it, but it's got number plate. It's got British.
That's the one that Mike Wilds was driving at Le Mans.
Yeah, great connection. It's the Cafe Mexicana car, so that's that's white with a red and yellow livery on it.
Yeah.
So a UK number plate, just a small one, sort of gets lost in the livery.
Yes, it does.
But if you look
at
it, you think that's a 74 RSR, so a car that wasn't supposed to be road legal.
Yeah.
But it's road legal, and I sort of extended that forward, and I thought, wow. Because those 964s, they have those little spotlights on them. They have a, even more so the 94, it's a fat turbo express livery. So that's pretty cool at the moment, particularly.
Right back in.
So that is that 94 car. It's in that book, you know, that book that you and I have both got, the 3.8 RS book. Have a look in there.
Okay, yeah.
And I just think, I mean, you probably need ear defenders, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
You'd have to raise the ride height probably a little bit, but I love the idea of the little number plates
turning
up here. And everyone's like, what's that? And why has he put a wide arch kit on his 964? I'm like, no, this is 964 RSR. So, you stickered it up like the 94 Le Mans winner. I'm like, no, this is the 94.
This is the one.
You're like, get out of town. I mean, honestly. Brilliant. I think I'd like that even more than tapping the lightweight glass. I mean, I know. Not much, but you know.
It just pips it. Yeah, right. That's amazing. Oh, I love
it. There we go.
Okay.
Fantasy.
Yeah. Oh, that talk of 1974 RSR. That's got my brain ticking about this. I have dreams about that orange one that's in the Porsche Museum. Just the look of those cars and the noise that they make. Oh. Seeing Mike Wilds drive round Le Mans in that car, that Mexicana one, and all the other ones that were out there, it's just that, what an experience that was, wasn't it? It was just epic.
So what, like a drive in one of them?
Driving one of those. That would be a big ticket.
Not driven, passengered with Johan Dirks. Yeah. We've got to get out to Belgium, guys. Go see Johan. What a guy. But we did an Abbeville track day, which Johan does twice a year. A couple of us from the collective are going over next month for that. And he's well known for bringing along a gem and getting it sideways.
I've forgotten about that.
Yeah, April. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, let's see what the dates are.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I totally forgot.
No, that's great.
What's your big ticket?
I think that States thing for me. I think anything else beyond that would be pie in the sky, you know. But I have thought about that for years. The older I get, the more obsessive I am about it, I guess, you know.
How old were you at your recent birthday?
35.
35, okay. Got to get that done before 40, yeah?
Big time, without a doubt, you know. You go, Christ, that is, financially it's obscene, could even be deemed reckless, because the money you could chuck into something that could, you know, you're talking like pension or investment. Yeah. But I'm the kind of guy, you know, I like to invest in emotion.
Yeah.
And it goes back to that. If I'm in the corner of a retirement home and one of my last memories or only memories is doing something like that, aside from the obvious of loved ones, family and stuff, you know, for me, I'm happy to check out with that.
Yeah.
Surely, that's too much, but given your Nine Works work, you know, YouTube, this, the pod, T911, surely there's a professional side to that that could, you know, imagine all the content you could drive out of that. Again, thinking about Sam, you know, to his credit, that Drive the World thing that he did was epic. And all the experiences that happened that were planned and then happened organically. I think it could really work for Lee. It could make, you know, it could be a great investment. It could pay
a great investment.
It could take his profession to the next level. Imagine.
It reminds me of the old, do you remember Bo Selector? Yeah. And he did the old Craig David, gone to Brecon Medicare. We're going to be over there, you know, with our cares. Yeah, look, it's our cares. Yeah, no, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, that's it. That's it for me. Amazing. So I won't name another one. I guess to finish then, you know.
I've got a big ticket.
Sorry, buddy. Yeah, sorry. Go for it.
I think it's a big ticket, but I think it's achievable at some point. And that's, I'd really like to get over to Sweden, do the ice driving. Tut Hill.
Yeah.
To do sort of 3 or 4 days of that, I just think would be all encompassing and I'd absolutely love it. I'd kind of like to almost drive there, I think, to add to the drama of it all. Don't know what I would drive. Probably my turbo. With some
button studs, or chains, and
I don't want to drive it there on the ice, but I want to drive it there to get as the car that gets me there.
Yeah.
So yeah, put a set of all season or winter tyres on it.
Yeah. I can imagine that, you know. Richard Tutter, we're showing you the full kind of arsenal of cars they've got, and you go, no, don't worry, I've bought my own.
I wouldn't do that. But I think that experience just looks freaking epic, being out in the middle of those lakes and sucking in all that atmosphere and coldness.
That needs to happen as well. I love that idea.
Yeah. Connoisseur's choice as well, because you've got the I don't know if it's still called, but it was called, you know, Porsche's Camp for Finland, Camp for Finland. And, you know, it's the new cars and you can go ice driving and that. And I think the connoisseur's choice is to go old school.
Yeah.
And do that Tut Hill experience. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely love to do that.
Yeah.
Very envious whenever I see pictures of people doing it. I think, oh, you lucky buggers.
Let's make it happen, Andy.
Yeah, yeah. This time next week it's happening at the moment, isn't it?
I think it's finishing
up. January through March.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This time next year.
Yeah.
You'll be back telling us about it.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
100%. Okay.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe it's not so big ticket and unachievable.
This time, yeah, we'll be broke, but we'll have the best stories to tell. Do you know what I mean? Love it. Love it. All right, then. Yeah. Should we finish off with like a person to meet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Yeah. For, you know, could even.
Do they need to be alive?
They do, really, because it's aspirational.
Okay, it's not, yeah.
Rather than fantasy, I guess.
Right, I'm going to have to let you guys go first then, because I've been dwelling on old people that have died. So.
Really, yeah. Okay, all right. Can you think of one, or do you want me to jump in? Or?
You can jump in.
Well, I've probably lucky enough to have done mine, I would say, when my dad joined me to go to Norway. I love that, and that, as I've said before, means a lot to me and will only mean more to me as I go forward, I think. And doing the video was a nice thing to do. Very vulnerable, very scary, you know, putting your dad on the internet, you know, not that he barely knows what YouTube is, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was nice to share that, actually. I think similar vein, I quite like to do that with my middle brother, Jack. There's three of us boys in the Sibley household. Jack and I, a lot of our interests overlap. My youngest brother Joe, he and I went to Le Mans in 2015. We took a GTS press car at the time that was new, and that was a fantastic experience with Joe. I've not done anything like that with Jack, so I think that'd be a really lovely thing to do, even if you know, I don't know, he joins us on a Nineworks road trip or something. That'd be great just to share some of that experience, I guess. That'd be lovely. But to be honest, anything that we've spoken about, you know, in this podcast, you know, if Jack was to join us on anything like that, I think that'd be marvellous. That'd be very fulfilling.
Excellent.
What about you, Maxi boy?
Well, I've actually DM'd this person on Instagram to ask them if they will come on the pod, potentially. Haven't heard back yet. Slightly
dear Slim, you ain't big. Yeah.
Slightly tenuous, maybe. But he is a car guy, and he does have a Porsche 911. But I just think he'd be so fascinating. He seems such an interesting guy. King of the Mountain, John McGuinness. So I'm massive, as some people know, massively into real road racing. The Isle of Man TT, as well as other stuff like the Northwest 200, and John seems just like, you know, such a just a great bloke, basically, as well as being insanely talented and the current King of the Mountain, I think it's still fair to say. And he likes his Porsches, likes his cars, likes his trucks. He's got his truck license. He's got his own rig. But he's also, I'm not sure exactly what he's got, but as I understand it, he's got a 911 of some description. So if he replies and he's up for coming on the pod, I think just be a great bloke to chat to.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I bet you know where he lives anyway.
Well, he's at Morecambe. Yeah. Somewhere. So we'll see.
Oh, wicked, man. Yeah. Love that. Great shout. Quite left field as well, actually.
Yeah.
Andy, what about yourself then?
So I want to spend the day. I don't know what we're going to do, but I want to go and see Jamiroquai. Go and see JK.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what. I've always been a big fan of his music, and you know, he's obviously a big car guy. Met him that once in Bicester, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So your dog's, you know, dog's name.
Yeah.
You know,
dog's name comes. Yeah, Cosmic comes from Cosmic Girl. He knows a boy. I think that would be my car related person. Wicked. That I'd like to meet and spend a day with.
Maybe you could make a tune together.
Yes. New music for the podcast. Maybe. That'd be, wouldn't
spin
it?
Spin us up an intro.
Oh, my God.
I tell you what you want to do, where you're saying you want to do something with JK.
Yeah.
But you're not sure what. You should say, you decide, pal. That'd be a memorable day.
Yes.
You decide. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a lad. Yeah.
I had a lovely little chat with JK and, you know, talking to our dads and parents. And my dad once, we were at, it was a Bicester do.
Yeah.
We got some mutual friends and we were outside Sports Purpose at the MT Yard. Can't remember what car we were looking at particularly, but JK was there and we were chatting and I made some comment about whatever it was that we were looking at would be a great, you know, Jay, that'd be a great town smoker for you, wouldn't it? He said, oh, yeah, he said he would be, but have a look at this. He said, I've just bought this. This is going to be my new town smoker. And he got his phone out and he bought, I think it was an old like 7 Series Beamer, maybe an Alpina or something.
Yeah.
And my dad wasn't quite sure what was going on or who this guy was. But he was enjoying the car chat and it was all really nice. And we were looking at these pictures of this Beamer on his phone. And then, you know, it was gone and off he went to enjoy the rest of his day. And my dad was just having a good time. And I explained to him it was. And he was like, oh, wow, brilliant.
Brilliant.
But it was just a really nice little casual car guy interaction.
Yeah, lovely.
Very nice.
Lovely.
Talking of town smokers, I was in London. I think Sarah and I were going up to see a concert around Chelsea Way. Or maybe it was, what's it called? King's, what's the station that's called King's something? King's Cross.
Yeah.
Around that way. And coming the other way was this Citroen DS convertible, and it was a real hot day, and this guy looked the coolest guy in town. And it wasn't until the last moment I realized it was JK driving it. Right. Black DS convertible.
Yeah, cool.
And it's just the king of cool for me.
The king of cool. Yeah. love it.
But in a king of cool in a relatable way. Yeah. I feel I think he'd be a good lad to hang out with. Okay.
Just as a quick aside, quick spin off from that. Do you remember at the end of that London Concourse day and what you're saying about, you know, your dad and JK and whatnot, and that weird kind of cross pollination of different aspects of your life, I guess, right? And quick story on that. At the end of that London Concourse day and we were in the pub afterwards and we got chatting with Jason Plato, didn't we? And I was meeting my pal Guy, we were going off afterwards to watch the West Ham football game. And Guy's like not a car person at all. So he's come along. I've said, right, this is, you know, Max. We had Nick Jeffrey was there as well. You know, so I'm just going, this is Max. This is Nick. And this is Jason Plato. And Guy's look at us and he was just like, you know, why both names basically? You know, why full name of him? And I was like, because it's Jason Plato. And he was like, Who's that? I was like, Google it. So anyways, we're like, you know, this was like on, you know, whispering it to him and that. And then we just carried on chatting with this, you know, general debauchery that we were chatting about. And you could just see like in the background, Guy's looking at his phone, looking at Mr. Plato. And then he's basically like holding the phone next to him and like looking across. And it was just so funny. It's like the realization he's trying to clock on. When you got someone who's not a car person.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just another human being, isn't it? Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a funny little meet, wasn't it? Don't forget, Jason, you did agree to come on the podcast on that occasion. Yeah. You may not have recalled the following day.
He was drunk.
I did say you would come on the podcast.
Yeah.
So, we're ready.
Yeah.
Ready when you are.
Yeah. If that could happen in our lifetime, that'd be grand. But yeah, look, that was in our lifetime. And Andy, last week on the DNHC WhatsApp group, you opened up the media conversations where we can have maybe more of a, because the main chat kind of, we get pulled right, left and centre and whatnot, which is fantastic, but it's more of a...
keep with the week's subject, I think, isn't it? Yeah. So if we drop a video, we drop a podcast, or a story on the website, it's let's keep within that story for a day or so until we drop the next one, really. Yeah.
Yeah. And just kind of keeps a focus to the conversation, which, you know, hopefully people find helpful, because it doesn't then, you know, you can get lost in the thread, I guess.
Yeah.
So it'd be, you know, lovely for collective members on there after listening to this, you know, in your lifetime, what do you want to do in the categories? Because, you know, we're all here to be inspired, aren't we, at the end of the day. So that'd be lovely to hear what people would love to do, and maybe what they've done as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. What have you already ticked off in your bucket list?
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Marvellous. Amazing, boys. Well, that was in our lifetime. We'll sign off by saying a message to, well, you two, as well, for me today, because, you know, vision drives decision. So we've spoken about it today. So, yeah, let's check in a year and see where we are. Yeah.
Good call, good call.
So, love it. Fantastic. Wicked. Oh, all right, then, gents. There we go, I guess. any thoughts or kind of changes to those aspirations since it was recorded? It was a couple of weeks ago now.
Well, I've since had another life event, of course, and I'm now a married man, so perhaps I need to take more people into account, or another person into account, with my Porsche choices. So whether that means I'm more likely to get a 993 or not, I don't know, because they are Mandy's favorite.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll have to see. Watch this space.
It'll all be part of the plan there, mate.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. I like it.
Just got to look for the good colours. I haven't got any changes. I'm still good with my choices.
You're all good. Yeah. All right. That sound. There's still, like I said, a little part of my brain that hopes that red Ferrari 360s drive better than blue ones. There's no rationality to that whatsoever. Shall we sign off the episode in the series then with a couple of bits of admin? We've got a gem of the week. Max, you've themed it.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I mean, there's often a theme of some description, isn't there?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, so we got married in Oxford, and then we went up to the Cotswolds. That was our first stop, to the Fox at Oddington. And we did that in the Boxster, you know, which was brilliant, because it was actually a really nice day, so we could have the top down. Lovely. So I did the wedding to hotel stop in an open top Porsche. So I've already done that. But I was thinking about what could be on the marketplace where I could have done that, not necessarily better, but differently, in a more funky way, a more special way. And there's a little nugget on there, which has been on the marketplace for a while. What I did actually was I sorted the marketplace by white cars, because my box is rhodium silver, as everyone knows, but I thought this was a wedding day, so I probably ought to have had a white car, really. Yeah. So amongst the white ones, there is that 997 Speedster. So, you know, not a car that, you know, not a favoured car, a super niche car, but it's white. And I thought, actually, what a cool way that would have been to have gone from the centre of Oxford out into the Cotswolds and turned up. Because basically we went into there's a tiny little car park at the Fox at Oddington, but you get to park there if you're resident. And we parked right outside the door. So I thought, well, that would have been a cool car to turn up in, wouldn't it? So
it would have been.
That is with Jonathan Franklin Cars. Super niche, kind of cool. And that's my marketplace gem of the week.
Nice. I can imagine. I'm not sure with the roof on a 997 Speedster, is that manual or electric?
I don't know. There must be a bit of manual in there, mustn't there?
What you would hope so. But I know that the 997 was, there was a lot of automation and it steered or veered away from that Speedster concept quite spectacularly, as we've discussed previously. So I'm not sure, but I can just imagine you having to pause Vic halfway through the old ceremony just to pop outside and stick the roof on your car because it's chucking it down outside.
I tell you, it's that Speedster spider life, isn't it? It's always a compromise. It's always a compromise to look cool, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I tell you what, speaking of like white drop top cars on the marketplace, there's a lovely 997 Turbo S cab at Paragon.
Yeah.
And I like it. That is That is cool. Particularly, you know, good for the bride if she's running a bit late. You get there in speedy fashion, you know. PDK, easy when got the heels on, so I'm told.
That's definitely a bit of you, that is.
Yeah. Well, you're spoilt for choice for a wedding, Carmax, anyway.
Well, actually, the other thing I thought was there's that bloody fantastic 997 GT2 at Porsche Center Bournemouth, you know, and I love a 997 GT2. We talked about that a lot. But I was thinking, you know, on the, although you didn't see it so much on the GT2, although you did, that script that they were using down the side of the 907 GT3 RS at that time, and then they used it on GT3s and all sorts, I thought I could have got Hugh to do a Just Married decal in that script, and I could have put it on either side of the GT2, and that would have looked... that would have looked cool for just for a little while, not permanent. That would have been how I would have got past Mandy with a, because she doesn't like cars with wings. So, you know, I was on shaky ground. I thought if it's got a Just Married sticker on the back, then I'm in. And then we could have got to the Cotswolds really quickly as well.
Yeah, you'd have been jumped out, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I know it doesn't really time with a wedding, I guess, because you're after like white drop top cars, but there was a quirky car popped up on the marketplace earlier this week. Definitely won't be for everybody, but it's piqued my interest. It's a 2001 986 Boxster 2.7, but it's been converted into like a 356 speedster look. It's a Phil Raby's. It's an iconic auto body 386 speedster. Apparently that's what it is. And I mean, I remember seeing these like being built previously, and I don't know, there's a bit of me that thinks I don't dislike it, but again, this, that it will split opinions big time. Absolutely big
split
time.
Split totally split from me.
You're yeah, yeah. Not I can imagine that's not an Andy B car or a Max car.
No.
Yeah I'm not sure. It's an ownership prospect or proposition is very different, isn't it, to like admiring a car at Cars and Coffee. Yes. Or something. So that adage of would I buy the tires for it, that is a very different question, but I'm going to stick my neck out and say I think that's better looking than any 911 speedster from the factory. Am I off the pod?
You're totally off the pod.
Totally
that's,
sacked.
That's the end of Nine Works Radio, right?
No
there.
Way
yeah, yeah. Done no way. Drop no. The mic, let's
Blimey.
Go
No, I'm not yeah. in that.
Do you not reckon?
No. And I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at it as well.
Bloody hell.
Not digging it.
I am not digging it.
Not
you
digging
like your
it.
Red steering wheels, don't you, mate?
Yeah, I would definitely. Yeah, I'd, if I were to buy the car, I'd swap that around. It's a bit too GT2 for me in there. And I'd also take off on the dash where it says speedster, where someone's, you know, that sort of thing, that script belongs on the deck lid, doesn't it? Not on the... on the dashboard, I guess, but you'll never forget what you're driving. And I don't know, I'm intrigued by it, but there's a Porsche out there for everyone, folks.
There is
yes. You've always said that and you are right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, all right,
cool. Okay, well, if you'd like to join Max and Andy on the podcast, hello at nineworks.co.uk please. Absolutely.
Theory me.
All right, then. We got right. Any more admin, like any Driven Not Hidden Collective stuff, Andy B?
No Driven Not Hidden Collective stuff this week.
Okay. Well, we've just gone past the 1st of April, which, as we know, is April Fools. Did anybody else fall for Simon Jessop's April Fools from the Collective when he posted up about a 911 RS?
I clocked it straight away. There's just no way that water is flowing through that man's veins. Ever. No, never going to happen. It was bloody good.
Yeah.
He did well, but yeah, I did clock it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, I think most people were taken by it though.
Yeah. It was feasible. So for those not in the know, Simon Jessop, I think that's his Instagram handle. He's got a couple of 996s, a coupe and a cab. And
964s.
What did I say?
996s.
Sorry. Yeah.
You just made his skin crawl.
On the brain. Yeah. On the brain. fluffing. So two 964s, a coupe and a cab. And he'd posted up early doors, April the 1st, saying that he'd swapped them for a 997 Gen 1. GT3 RS in orange in the best color. And I believed it to the extent where it wasn't till a couple of days later he'd been talking about it on the WhatsApp DNHC chat, and he said, you know, that was a great one. And I was thought, What? So is that not happening then? For 2 days, I was thinking, because I know he's coming on the Driven on Not Hidden Collective road trip to Wales, and he mentioned he was going to take the RS to Wales. Yeah. I remember thinking there's a road we're going down that is not RS friendly, and he's going to lose his splitter, but I'll let him enjoy a couple of days of having the new car before I've got to tell him he's got to leave the front of his car in Wales. So I fell for that completely.
Done. Yeah. I kind of went for it. I mean, even though I remember when I told Simon that I wasn't that keen on his 993 because I thought my 997 was half the price and much better, he said that didn't matter to him because he's an air-cooled guy only, so the 993 is the pinnacle for him. So even though I have that ringing in my ears, I also know that he's super gung-ho and committed when it comes to doing deals and moving on. And I thought, bloody hell, maybe he has done it. You know, maybe that's, you know, in financial terms, maybe that's you know, him going for it. So I actually phoned him up.
Did you?
I phoned him up partly because I was looking forward to a go in it. I thought, yeah. I'm going to get a spin in this bad boy. And and he fessed up straight away and he said, bloody hell, that's gone a bit better than I thought it would.
Fantastic.
It was a good one. It was a good one.
Yeah.
That is very good. All right then. So I think that's it, isn't it, gents?
Should we do spread the love? Has anybody got any spread the loves?
Ooh, yeah.
I've got one.
Go on then.
I'm going to spread the love for our new merch.
Ooh.
That we haven't sort of publicly said that we have, but we do. We've been selling a few bits and bobs to DNHCers, but we've actually got some merch on our Shopify website, which is nineworks.myshopify.com. We've got our stickers on there. We've got some hats, some corduroy hats, some beanies, some snapback hats, and also some garage therapy stuff on there as well. So yeah, go and have a look.
Absolutely amazing. And if you're in the DNHC, you get some cheeky discounts, particularly on like the garage therapy stuff.
Yep.
So yeah, amazing. My spread the love, I'm going to shout out to Curb and Canyon because it was nice to hear them on the airwaves a couple of weeks ago again. So big shout out to Andy and James, fellow Total 911 columnists as well. I think they give you a run for your money, Andy, in terms of late submissions.
Do they?
For those columns. Yeah. So, yeah, proper boys. But great to hear you guys back on the airwaves. Well, we look forward to hearing some more coming up soon.
Ah, you boys. Awesome. You late. Oh, dear. That must grind your gears, doesn't it, Lee?
Well, I don't know. It's funny because Andy will message me and say, I'm really sorry, Lee. I've not done the column. And I'll send him back going, don't worry, Andy, I've not done mine either. it's then a race to smash the keyboard together, isn't it, for both of us? So we're doing all right. We've got to just do what you do, Max, and just biff it off entirely. Buy a Boxster. That's how desperate you were to get away from Total 911 magazine. You went and bought a Boxster instead.
That 4 weeks comes around very quickly, doesn't it?
It does. My spread the love is on the foodie side of things. It's for a wicked burger joint in Bristol called Asado, and it is really, really good. I went there a few weeks ago with Mandy and the kids and her brother and sister and all that sort of thing. It's cracking. So if you're in or around Bristol, fancy burger, it's a good place to go.
Tidy.
Nice.
Love it. All right then. So with that, we end the episode and we end the series as well. Thanks as always for your support. We'd love to get some reviews from you, particularly if they're 5-star. That would just help us to spread the word a little bit more.
Yes,
and we'll
indeed.
See you next series where we'll have some more insights and more cutting edge journalism, including how to pronounce Cayenne or KN, I guess. And as well as some cool names in front of the mic as well to share their story. So we will catch you soon.
Cool, man. See you in Wales.
See you in Wales.
This episode was brought to you by our very kind Driven Not Hidden Collective. If you would like to join the collective to get further access and rewards within the Nineworks community, you can do so at patreon.com/Nineworks. You can also support us by leaving a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app.